Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome back to the one and only Cavs the Podcast, featuring commentary from all of your favorite Cavs the Blog bloggers. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Welcome to Cavs the Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Smith. Starting this one up like a D-bag. I got Chris Francis and Eli Kim here. We're just doing a little Christmas Eve 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 pod. And the Cavs, one of their more important wins of the season, I would say that if the Cavs did not win this one, Kenny might have been job hunting. Do you believe that's true?
Nah. Well, I don't know about that, but I do think that seat would have started to get a little hotter.
Yeah. But they had a nice game. It was close. The score is going to end up being closer than the game was. The Cavs probably were about 10 to 15 points in the lead for about the last 8 minutes of the game. And DeAndre Hunter probably had his best game, if not of the season, literally in months. And also we saw a return to the court from Sam Merrill, and he was, well, he didn't shoot the three well. He had 5 assists, and the defense was solid. He had a plus 6, 5 assists, and gave him good minutes, frankly. And, And Darius Garland had a big night, 27 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds, which is a lot for him.
Ooh, almost made it to 6.
Almost a base 6 triple-double. And then Jared Allen kind of battled foul trouble, so he only played 20 minutes and finished with 12 and 5. And Dean Wade led the team in plus-minus. I thought he was definitely the best defensive player that game. Like, he was in the right spot consistently. No turnovers, finally shot the ball well, 4 for 7 from deep, 14 points, 7 rebounds. A real nice game from Diener. Lonzo Ball played within himself, didn't go 1 for 9 from 3. He went 2 for 4, 11 points, 7 assists. And Thomas Bryant had a game. He had 10 points in 20 minutes, but only 1 rebound. And along with Jalen Tyson, who was minus 11, Thomas Bryant, was minus 13. What do you guys think of tonight's game? Was it a return to form? Or I know you were talking about before we started, I didn't understand the shot selection at the beginning. Go into that, will you, Chris?
I don't know if it was a return to form. I mean, they gave up 132 points. they were getting out rebounded. They almost got doubled up, and well, they got out rebounded by 13 on the game. Charlotte shot 50% from the field and made 21 threes. So what saved the Cavs was them being casual with the ball. They turned it over. Basically, it was the turnover margin that won the game. It was 19-13 on the turnover margin. So I'm not getting too excited.
Well, and
also,
the Cavs shot 55%.
They did, yeah. So, I mean, it was the guard show tonight. I mean, what it was about was LaMelo Ball and Konkanipple cannot play defense on the perimeter, and neither can Garland or Mitchell, and they all flamed each other. And thankfully, we had some guys, like as you said, Dean Wade, I think, and Lonzo Ball played really good defense. Sam Merrill played good defense off the bench. DeAndre Hunter finally had himself a game. So I think that's what tipped the scales in the favor of the Cavs was just...
Well, and 19 for 19 from the line.
There you go. Yeah. I noticed that they've been shooting a little bit better from the free throw line, so maybe that's a good positive, good trend.
Well, I think a lot of it is they've actually had some rest. Like, they had two games off before this game. They had, like, three or four games off before the last game. Like, I think they're just getting their legs back a little bit when... They came off that road trip. They were tied among three teams for the most games played in the NBA. So, you know, some fatigue certainly a factor. Mitchell and CPJ were both out sick. I'm assuming they either had, well, they probably didn't have COVID or they've been out longer. They probably had the damn diarrhea as everybody's getting. They had the green apple splatters.
Wow.
We may have to edit that one.
What the hell?
That's a little South Park impersonation for you. I was sick for a couple days this week, in case you couldn't tell.
Wow.
That's funny. I was out sick for a while, too. I went on a work trip last week and just never recovered. And then the last stage of my recovery were the splatters.
Oh, man.
Jesus Christ. What the?
Hey, it's his birthday coming up.
There you go.
Oh, anyway. So, I mean, John Madden said it best, winning is the greatest deodorant. The Cavs still have problems. What were we talking all about all day, Eli? What were we arguing for?
Well, I thought, given the mashup today and some articles that came out, the big conversation at Cavs, Cavs the podcast on the chat on the text thread was a hypothetical LaMelo for DG trade. And both DG and LaMelo played pretty well tonight, I thought, at least offensively. But I'm sure we'll get into a deeper dive. But I do think the Cavs game tonight was not a reversion to being back to normal. I just think that they took care of business against a significantly less talented team.
Yeah, and we talked about some other trades too. I think there was a couple articles out today. Of course, there was the LaMelo Ball option for Kyrie Irving. And then there was a rumor today, I don't know who broke it, but that a couple teams were interested in Garland, the Kings, as well as, who was the other team?
Minnesota.
Yeah. And, yeah, I don't hate the Kings option. Minnesota has some good guys, but the guy you wanted was Jaden McDaniels, and he's not available, or he's hurt right now. How bad was he hurt, Eli?
Yeah, he left the game with... everyone thought it was a major hip injury, but it looks like it's not going to be season ending anymore. And now it's just very minor. So maybe that's back on the table, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah. And everything I'd read was that he's basically number three in the pecking order behind Rudy and Ant in terms of who the team values. So, and maybe even a little more than Randall just because he's on a better contract. Yeah, he's been playing really well. The T-Wolves in general have been playing really well. That I don't know if you guys caught them beating the Thunder the other night, but that was a great
and
game.
The refs.
Yeah. And the refs, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it was good to see who was it, Chris Finch, go off.
So. Within like 3 minutes of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, really nice shooting game by Garland tonight, 5 of 6 from deep.
I was more impressed with his defense, to be quite honest. He actually out-rebounded LaMelo, which is insane.
Yeah.
I think he finally got the message and stuck his nose in the fray more tonight than I've seen in a long time.
Well, and literally same thing for DeAndre Hunter. Got clocked in the face by Musa Diabate and was on the floor for quite some time and then had gone back to the locker room. And I think everybody was worried they were going to pull a Luke Travers off the bench to shoot the flagrant free throws. But here comes DeAndre running down the hall. Came back and
it woke him up.
It did. Yeah, he was maybe somebody should have hit him in the face sooner. I mean, I think that's part of. I think the Cavs have been sleepwalking. One of the things that annoys me a little bit in that as fans, we all are like, you need to prioritize health. You need to prioritize the playoffs. And then the Cavs do that. And now they're and then they kind of sleepwalk through November and half of December. And maybe they'll start to turn it around here. But of course, we had the rumor this last week that Dan Gilbert was recently or in the process of getting divorced. I don't think it's final yet, but they had a kind of a disillusion back in like May.
It was announced a while ago.
Yeah. And then and now he's divorcing. As Eli said on the chat thread the other day, there's nothing worse than a man with too much time on his hands. In the front office.
Especially in Cleveland sports, right?
Hey-o! So, yeah, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? What do you think, Eli? Are you glad Dan's leaning in, or is it just kind of inevitable given the luxury tax and how they were playing?
Depends how much of the luxury tax the wife has taken, I think.
Good call. Yeah, I think she's like the second major shareholder in Rock Enterprises after him now. So,
yeah,
that's crazy. I can't even imagine 30 years. Like, what is the how do you even get divorced after that? Maybe I don't
like
know.
Like, what's left after that, right? Like, you're not. I mean,
yeah, but when you're a billionaire, all bets are off, right?
There's no more Diddy parties, though, so, like, I don't know. No!
Yeah, wow. Yeah, maybe.
He's pulling a Belichick? Belichick?
Well, but let's just hope that his pictures aren't blacked out on any recent media release.
Anyways, going back to looking at the future, the one thing I am concerned about for the Cavs is their upcoming schedule. I don't know if you guys looked at it, but it is brutal. They play New Orleans tomorrow, but then they go to New York for Christmas. Then they go to Houston. Then they go to San Antonio. And then they come home for Phoenix, Denver, Detroit. They could literally be under 500 after this little spurt. And then it doesn't ease up. In January, they played Minnesota twice, Philadelphia twice, Oklahoma City, and Orlando twice. So it's just like they should have won more of these games because they're going to be flirting with 500 the way they're playing. Or if I had a bet the way they're playing, they'd be below 500 after this spurt.
Do you think they need to make a move sooner than later, Eli?
I'm just not sure how or what you do. I listened to the Brian Windhorst Hoop Collective podcast, and I thought he brought up a good point. You know, the Cavs have been decimated by injury. They have a lot of guys, you know, they have had so many different starting lineups, different guys having to come up. I do think the prudent thing is to ride it out and wait till everyone gets healthy and then see if it works together. But at the same time, I feel like they might need to. I think this stretch to start the year is a good sign that, you know, this year, what, 4 or 5 of continuity, maybe we have seen the peak of the core, and maybe there does need to be major shakeup.
Wait, you're telling me, you like him, that you may want to engage in a little slop talk? Well, we'll get to that when we come back.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Cavs a podcast. I'm Nate Smith, and I'm drinking eggnog. What's your take on eggnog, Eli?
Can't say I love or hate it. It's there for the holidays, and if it's offered, I'll do it, but I don't go out of my way for it.
Well, what about you, Chris?
Absolutely hate it. I remember my godfather actually giving it to me for the first time as a child. And yeah, I think he got a kick out of it or laughed at me because I thought it was disgusting, but I've been traumatized as a child and will never try it again.
I'm sorry to hear that. I myself love eggnog, but I understand it's an acquired taste. My youngest daughter, growing up, she always called it eggnoggin. So that's what we call it in our house. And I've always been a big fan, but I also think it is heavy on dairy. I know that, and I can say this because this pod is 50% Korean. I went to high school with quite a few Japanese and Korean people, and one of the things that my Japanese friend said is that most Americans smell like sour milk. So every time I drink eggnog, I think of that, and I give Shintaro a little toast. So anyway, I'm just drinking a little eggnog with a little Demerara rum in it and enjoying my holidays. I make a drink called the Between the Holidays. Not drinking that tonight, but I'll make up like a giant batch of it, and it's coffee, eggnog, rum, or bourbon and whipped cream. And I will literally make like a 32-ounce cup of it and just drink it and play video games all night. So, you know what's happening across the next 2 weeks at the Smith House. Anyway.
My, oh my.
Anyway, speaking of acting like a pig, it is slop season at Cast the Block. A lot of trade talk. I think the universally agreed to opinion here is the one that when Donovan Mitchell first came to the Cavs, you guys told me I was crazy. But it's that Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell are a bad fit together in the backcourt. And that if there's one that needs to go, it's probably Darius. because you can't play defense with two short guys. And I wanted to trade Darius to trade high. Now it's really hard because the Cavs are operating in the second apron. What is your dream trade scenario, Eli? Give me a dream and give me what you think will happen.
I think the dream is a guy like Franz Wagner. That's like the ultimate dream. He's bigger. He plays a position that is more of a premium. And he does more of the things that the Cavs are lacking, which include toughness, rebounding, and driving the basketball with size. Because Garland is the Cavs' best driver of the ball, but I don't necessarily think that is the best long-term offensive approach. So that is a dream. I don't think it'll ever happen. I think at some point, maybe during his, maybe some points of last year and the year before, that was possible because Wagner was not also fully developed as he is now leading the Magic in scoring. But a more realistic trade, I do think, goes to either the Timberwolves with Jaden McDaniels and Dante DiVincenzo, because that those numbers work, I believe, or is some framework of that, or a Kings trade with Keegan Murray as kind of the returning piece and maybe some bits and parts in relief. So I think that's the what I would, you know, what I think is more realistic. Maybe you guys think I'm smoking dope, but
I don't think you're smoking dope. I actually think the Kings are dumb enough to do that trade, but in other news, the other guy that I guess my follow-up question is there anybody else you think that needs to be voted off the island, Eli?
Honestly, it'd probably be Jared Allen. I think this stretch without Mobley makes me feel like Jared Allen's defensive numbers, synergy stuff may be overblown without him, because I don't feel like he's a true anchor of a defense. The Cavs have been giving up over just so many points. I mean, they gave up 132 tonight, 136 to the Bulls, 127 to the Bulls. You know, just with Mobley out, I just don't. And maybe it's an adjustment thing too, but I just think we've seen time after time that Allen cannot single-handedly anchor a defense. And if you're paying a huge number to center, that's like the minimum skill set required. So I'd like to vote him off probably more than Garland, to be honest, just in terms of upside and ability to, quote-unquote, carry a team. But I just think his value is so low and it's such a commodity position that I just don't see anyone paying anywhere near what he's valued at.
Well, my guy is DeAndre Hunter, who I have affectionately nicknamed the laziest help defender in the association. And he drives me nuts. And conveniently, his number, if the Cavs could get off it, would put them back below the second apron, which would allow them to aggregate their own players in a trade, which would be super helpful. But I don't really see that happening. There's really only two teams with significant cap room in the association right now, and that's the Jazz and the Nets, and they're going to be charging a premium to rent that cap space. So they're going to be in asset collection mode. It's really interesting. If you plan your rebuild right, you can rebuild really quickly. If you are a team like the Thunder or the Houston Rockets, but if you don't do it right and you're a team like the Kings or the Bulls, you're kind of stuck in mediocrity forever. Washington is kind of going through that right now. And I don't know. Anyway, it's just me spitballing. Chris, who's your ideal trade candidate for Darius Garland? And who else would you like to see off the island? And what's your realistic trade target?
Well, I don't know if it's realistic, but it should be Giannis.
Oh, it's mine. That's mine.
Yeah. I just think that you know, the time is, I mean, that you've got to make that kind of move in order to maximize Spida's prime right now. And I think also get a guy who can complement Mobley, because you're going to keep Mobley too.
Yeah, I don't think you can play Giannis and Allen together, at least not at the same time. Neither right. stretches the floor.
Yeah. I mean, the I think the unspoken thing is that the way things are going, and if it keeps on going on this trajectory, is Donovan Mitchell the guy that's gone? Is he going to request a trade? Is he going to, you know, and also the Cavs would have to trade him at a, I think it would be by the trade deadline if you were to maximize his trade value.
I think you guys are absolutely nuts. I think that you don't trade Donovan Mitchell until you have absolutely exhausted your options in the playoffs.
I wouldn't trade Donovan this year at all, just for the record.
I agree with you. I think it's crazy. You don't have a superstar that wants to be in Cleveland, re-sign to be in Cleveland, and then move him. You do everything you
can. I'm not saying that we should trade him. I'm saying he's going to want to go.
Well,
Especially if this is the way it's going to go down.
Oh, man. It's been a bad 2-3 weeks. Like, I'm tired of... I bet you the Cavs... So if the Cavs come out of this tough stretch, if they play better than 500 ball, does it shut the haters up? And by haters, I mean you.
I think there's a lot of haters. It's not just me and Chris.
It's true. It's true.
I think the one part that gives me solace, which I mentioned, is I think the Cavs are only three losses out of the three seed. So if they go on a good run, they could definitely make up the ground. It's not a matter of that, but it's just you look at the schedule, you look at what's left, and you're just like, holy crap, they wasted such a generous slate, hypothetically, to, you know, and now they're entering one of the toughest
Yeah, but that's it's two sides of that coin, too. Like, they also had the most compacted schedule through that whole thing, right? Through the first, I think, 27 games. And then now they're kind of back to a sane pace. And yeah, it's going to get hard again, but, like, there's reasons these things happen, right? And also, everybody in the NBA is going through injuries right now, because the pace of play is insane. And that's actually, I wanted to counterpoint your Jared Allen assertion earlier, because I think part of the reason that Jared Allen has a little bit less value right now than he might have before is the Cavs are playing it. Sometimes they play at a very stupid pace where they just come down, they jack up shots. There's kind of no rhythm or thinking to the offense. Like, Lonzo Ball should never, unless he's got like 2 or 3 rebounders under the basket, he should never shoot a pull-up three. He is not a good enough shooter for that. Like, and I know that's kind of the Ball stock and trade, but like, please stop, you know, sling the ball around a little. You know, there should be like 2 guys on the team with a green light for that, and maybe 3, Merrill, Garland, and Mitchell. But even then, you got to be judicious about it. Like, they're not going inside. They're not making the defense work. That's part of the reason that these teams are just running them. Because when you chuck threes, you don't ever get to the line. It's so much easier to play defense when you're coming out of a free throw situation. It's so much easier to, you know, get your floor balance. If you're just playing, you know, ping pong on a basketball court, it's going to be stupid. And they're not designed. Yes, they needed to play faster than what they were, you know, 2-3 years ago. But they don't need to play so fast that they don't need to play stupid. And you saw that, you know, in the first quarter tonight, they were playing stupid. Like, I think both teams had 10 points in the first 2 minutes. Like, I was telling my wife, I was like, oh, I guess we're getting ready for 120-point first quarter. So, The Cavs got to play smarter, and part of that is I've been so annoyed with Kenny Atkinson's coaching. I thought the game before this one was the second Bulls game was one of the worst coached games I've seen from Kenny. That lineup he had at the end with Hunter, Wade, Lonzo, was it Tyson? No. And Mitchell. Basically, Allen and Mitchell, they had one guy on the floor that could shoot that game. Like, nobody else was hitting shots, and they took all the guys out that had brought him back and didn't play him for the last 5 minutes, and they got the doors blown off him. Like, just, like, pay attention to the game, Kenny. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he admitted that he was terrible, and he's like, I wanted to trust the vets, and I forget which beat writer was, but he basically was like, yeah, but they were like, you know,
Was it Spencer Davies?
I'm not sure.
Because he was calling it out, and I was like, please ask him this in the post game.
And then Kenny literally said, like, yeah, I was just trying to lead on the veteran guys, and I definitely, you know, miscalculated on that.
Yeah, and that's part of what annoys me. It's like, you know, the time for trust is gone. These guys haven't earned the trust. You're the coach. You got to make some decisions. Guys got to earn the trust back, right? I don't know.
Yep.
Chris, I know I cut you off there. Who's your realistic trade get for the Cavs?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I think someone said Zion earlier in our, it's like probably that where it's like a, or LaMelo, where it's you're trying to roll the dice on somebody, you know, instead. And so it's probably something like that, which, you know, I get your reticence about LaMelo because that seems lateral. Like, the whole point of a trade at this point is recognizing that the perimeter defense sucks whenever DG and Donovan share the floor.
Well,
so
and
whatever trade you're making, it better not suck. It better not, you know, trading him for LaMelo is definitely trading for another crappy defender on the perimeter.
And also, those are guys who are two guys who are literally more injury prone than Garland.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there you go. So, I mean, what I've been beating the drum on is just freaking, I don't understand why Darius was starting to begin with. When you saw Wemby,
$40 million a year.
Well, you saw Wemby come off the bench. You saw Steph Curry come off the bench after injury. What makes Darius Garland so special that we could not have eased him into? And also notice today what happened was, I think Kenny staggered more than I've ever seen him stagger.
But they're better apart.
Did you notice in the fourth quarter? Did you notice in the fourth quarter they didn't play together?
Yeah, they're better apart. Well, what was the game? Not the previous game, but the first Bulls game. Was it the first Bulls game where Garland tried to draw that foul at the end of regulation?
That was the first Charlotte game.
Oh, yeah. And it was just like, oh, yeah, yeah. It was against Williams. And it was like, what are you doing?
Like, this is Brandon Miller. Yeah.
Why, Brandon Miller, why is Garland even on the floor in a crunch defensive possession? Like, he shouldn't even be on the floor.
You shouldn't be on the floor, and you shouldn't call a switch defense when their best guys that night, because LaMelo was not playing, was Miles Bridges and Brandon Miller and Con Knipple. Like, all those guys are 5 inches plus taller than Garland. You should not have them in that situation.
Well, yeah, and he didn't even execute the game plan. Like, Kenny, stop trusting your guys and take control of the situation. Like, I think that's part of the problem is he's trusting the vets too much.
Yeah.
And it's a fine line in the NBA, but I think all of us are thinking right now that maybe Jordan Ott was a secret sauce last year.
It's possible. I think Phoenix is kind of punching above their weight this year than expected after the KD trade. You know, they're the 7th seed. They have a better record than I think most would have thought at this time.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think they fall back down to earth a little bit. It's funny because that's a team that actually would make some sense for Garland, although they don't really have anybody on that team I'd want other than Booker, which they wouldn't give up. But and also Matt Ispia and Dan Gilbert aren't going to trade with each other. But yeah, that and I mean it's been a great year for ex-Cavs coaches. At least the last two. I mean, Darius or
JB,
and then Jordan Ott. Of course, Ty Lue.
Mike Brown. Don't forget about Mike Brown tearing it up too.
That's right.
Oh yeah, for the Knicks. Yeah, that's right. He just won an NBA Cup.
Did you see the Knicks? How strong they were! Like, we're not putting a banner up. We don't care about stuff like that.
Oh, I 100% agree. Well, the NBA Cup's stupid.
And did you see the Lakers? Are like the story that came out after that is that the Lakers are contemplating taking it down after that.
They should just put it in like, don't put it over the arena, put it in like the hall, right? Do like the wall of fame they have in Cleveland, right? Not,
or just put it, it should just be like an asterisk or something. I don't know.
The game was awesome. I don't know what you're talking about. I think this disrespecting of the cup is terrible.
You're so full of crap, Chris. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Yeah, welcome back to Cavs the Podcast. I'm Nate Smith. I am just full of weird segues and intros today, and I'm here with Chris Francis and Eli Kim, wishing y'all Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. And NBA Cup. How was the game, Chris? I didn't watch it. No shade.
Terrific. It was terrific. Absolutely.
It sounded like it was a good game.
It was awesome, and even the previous round was good. So. Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think
I would argue the previous round was better.
There you go.
Because the Wemby OKC game, I thought that was great.
Oh man, that was that was amazing. That was so cool.
Yeah, I mean, and it's such a weird season because does the East even have a shot? I guess you'd say they do because the Knicks just beat the team that beat the Thunder. So.
I mean, the Knicks look good. This is it. It's a failure if they don't make it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to be that failure.
Exactly.
I think the funny thing was the Cavs, all they needed to do was like beat Atlanta to make it to the tournament for the first time.
And the Cavs clearly did not want to go.
The Cavs were so
bad karma. Yeah.
They were so confident. About going that, like, they're like, oh, you know, we're just looking at the wild card because we want the higher seed and want the point differential, and then they get
I don't think they wanted to go at all. I don't even think they wanted to play the extra games. They didn't want the extra travel. I think that was all BS.
Maybe, but
well, their worst losses of the year came right after that, so
yeah, I mean that Atlanta game
respect
was
respect the cup.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, Miami looking good. They absolutely fleeced the Clippers out of Powell. And the Clippers, like, there's a team I would think the Cavs could trade with, but then I'm like, the only guy I want off the Clippers is Ty Lue.
I think
what about Zubac?
He just high ankle sprain. He's going to be out at least 2 months.
It's all right.
I mean, not sure he's just not sitting for trade purposes.
Huh?
Are we sure he's just not sitting for trade purposes?
He could be. I mean, I don't know. I hear he's got this primo organic landscaping endorsement he's doing. Oh, man. Yeah, and then, of course, Kawhi's getting all pissed off at everybody, so that's always fun. And then you got James Harden. Would you take on James Harden?
No.
Yeah, me neither. He always flames out in the playoffs.
I would take a stab at the other guy, though.
Who's that? Kawhi?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't take it. He's cooked, dude. He is. He's already retired.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Oh, I think he retired. He's done. He's cooked.
Yeah, he wants to play the bare minimum games and get paid and sit out like a baby anytime you can't get his under-the-table cash. Screw him.
Yeah, or his uncle can't get his under-the-table cash or whatever it is.
But we already have one of those guys, and at least he's taller than him.
who's that?
DG.
Oh, whatever. Oh, nice.
What, with the app?
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's funny because early in the season, I thought DG looked a lot thicker. I feel like he's lost weight recently, and maybe that's to take some of the stress off the foot. I don't know, but he tweaked it again in the fourth quarter tonight.
I think that's wishful thinking.
Well, his butt was bigger. I don't know.
You know what's hilarious is that DG for Harden actually works straight up.
Does it? I thought Harden made just a little bit more.
Makes just a little bit less.
Oh, nice. Well, that, but it depends. I don't know if Harden has a trade kicker, which could throw that out of whack.
He'd have to waive it, or it wouldn't work, obviously.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Cavs would do
Harden
that.
Harden does stay healthy.
Yeah, so my trade,
Harden also boosts the local economy, so.
Shout out to the Cabaret, or whatever.
The Platinum Horse.
I was trying to think. I can't remember the one in the
Christie's Cabaret downtown.
Yeah, Christie's. Yeah, exactly.
Down in the flats. Oh God, 20 some odd years ago, I was at Christie's. It's been a long time. The girl I was talking to was a chemical.
I'll name drop you, Nate. See if they remember.
Well, she was a chemical engineering major, so.
Wow, just working her way up. That's beautiful. All American story right there.
Yeah, she's probably the drug kingpin of whatever stupid Cuyahoga County. Anyway.
That was a low blow, Nate.
No. I'm respecting her chemistry props. That's all I'm saying. This is a Breaking Bad situation going on here. Anyway. No, my oldest has been playing this game called Schedule 2, which is this, like, your drug lord simulator, but it's kind of like these crappy 90s polygon graphics. But it's supposed to be really fun, so that's what I think of that.
I've never heard of it. This is insane.
Yeah, no, it's a super popular game right now, so.
Wow.
Anyway, what else is going on around the association? Any other big trade rumors? Obviously, you got the Giannis situation. I gamed out an actual trade where the Cavs got rid of Hunter, Garland, Allen. I think those were the three, and they ended up with Porter and Giannis. And everybody got a little something, but I don't feel like the Nets and the Jazz got enough to make it work, but it's, I don't know. Who else, do you think? I don't think Giannis is going anywhere till the offseason.
Yeah, I don't know if I think the Anthony Davis stuff maybe happens.
Somebody's dumb enough to trade for Anthony Davis.
I think the Bulls are definitely in play. I think Kuminga's a trade target. And I think
understand why anybody wants Kuminga. What has he ever done?
Nobody except the Golden State Warriors wants him or thinks he's valuable.
God, I love the fact that they just absolutely just blew two high draft picks in the height of the dynasty. It will never not be funny to me.
Light years, baby.
Light years.
I do think Keon Ellis is, like, for sure gone.
He's a guy that Cavs, I would love to see him go after, but I don't know who they could.
Should have just drafted him. He was a draft darling of mine that I wrote about.
Yeah. Would you?
And then I do think eventually Claxton, maybe Herb Jones. Someone's going to get it. I think some of these guys are definitely getting moved.
Oh, yeah. I had two realistic trade scenarios for Garland. One of them actually makes a lot of sense, was Kevon Looney and DeJounte Murray for Garland. I actually think that makes sense for the Cavs because it gives them a guy who can play more defense, has more size, actually is a good rebounder for a guard. Pretty similar profile, not the shooter that Garland is, and he's not having a great year, but nobody in New Orleans is having a great year. What was the other one? Oh, the other one was Drew Holiday, who's literally 36, I think. Or I think he's 34, which means he'll be on that contract till he's like 37. But would you move Garland for Drew Holiday?
Not unless there are other assets coming back.
I think there would have to be, right? But would they even do that? Because they have Scoot, but has Scoot done anything, Chris?
Hell no.
Yeah. So I don't know.
They don't even have a head coach.
Well, they do. Who's their head coach?
Tiago Splitter.
Tiago Splitter. Yeah. He's turned into a handsome dude.
Uh-oh. Mrs. Nate Smith, watch out.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, like, he looks like he's a well-kempt man. That's all I'm saying. I'm secure enough in my heterosexuality. Well, I'll tell you a joke that I heard from a comedian that opened for Adam Sandler. It's like, my heterosexuality is like the plexiglass at the zoo. It'll hold, but if you throw a dozen bears at it, probably not. Nothing? Oh my God, you don't even get that.
What? Yeah, I didn't get it.
A bear is like a stereotype of a type of homosexual. And it's also a zoo animal. God.
Did not know.
Oh, wow. But I do have... This is the wrong crowd. Wow. We may be editing that moment. We are at 44 minutes. 44 minutes. And no, I'm not. It's not even a thing. Like, I'm totally 100% making that up. But no, I was like, he's better kempt than I remember, is my point. Anyway.
All people remember about Tiago Splitter is Skip Bayless loved him, and he got blocked by LeBron.
Yeah, but he won some ships with the Spurs.
Yeah.
Anyway, what the hell was I talking about?
Trades with Garland and Drew Holiday. That was what the last trade was.
Yeah, so what other trade names are out there? Like, you got to think that some of the Kings have got to do something, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're...
Do you really think trade
Daniel Gafford is also one. That's
Daniel Gafford's gone.
Well, it's either him or AD, I believe. But I think he's pissed because...
Gafford or AD is pissed?
I think Gafford is pissed because every time he seems to have a chance, like, they draft a guy, they bring in this guy. So it's just great. And they have so many big guys that I just don't think, there's ever a real...
Yeah, but Lively can't stay healthy. Neither can Anthony Davis.
Yeah, and then Gafford plays well, and then he gets sent right back to the bench. One of those guys gets healthy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of teams that could use a center. I heard a ton of teams interested in him.
I think Klay Thompson's another name.
Yep.
Because I think he hates his situation there.
Yeah, but he can't guard a post anymore. Or a pylon, I guess. Like, I wouldn't want him on the Cavs.
Yeah, no way. The only guy on the Mav that I think I want on the Cavs is PJ Washington.
Yeah, and they can't trade him this year because he signed a huge extension and he's not trade eligible till next summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I thought the Lakers would struggle a lot more than they have this year. They're clearly buyers. I think they're already shopping all their young guys, right? Like, I would be very surprised if Dalton Knecht ends up staying in a Laker uniform.
The quiet rumor is that the Lakers might trade high on Austin Reeves.
I don't think so.
No way. Really?
That's what people are saying.
Well, that would be a... who's the guy that owns the Lakers now? The guy that owns the Dodgers.
Yeah, I don't remember.
So, oh, yeah. We're amazing at this stuff.
The Walter family.
Yeah. Yeah, not the Buss family. And, of course, did you read all about Jeannie Buss sacking her brothers again for, like, the fifth time?
No.
That's crazy. But I also feel like... Yeah, that's a sneak Jeannie. Mark Walters. Yeah, that's a sneaky move that like a Mark Walters team might do, but I don't think so. I think they're gonna try and like aggregate lower pieces and draft picks, and of course I could also
they
see
can rip anybody off given
huh?
It's the Lakers. They can rip anybody they want off given it's the Lakers.
Yeah, the other thing I see
apparently guys, here's the offer that the Lakers have made to New Orleans for Herb Jones. This came out yesterday. They offered Connect, Kleba, and a first round pick. Which I think is a lot for Herb Jones. I think the Cavs would not be able to beat that offer.
I'm surprised there was a first round pick.
Well, the problem is every asset on the Pelicans right now is depressed. Like, how have they not fired their coach?
No, they did. They did fire Willie Green.
Willie Green? That's the problem. Not even the players noticed.
A month ago. Yeah, they fired him in November.
Yeah, I didn't even realize. Like, is that team needs to move to Seattle. Like, Benson needs to just sell that team, and they need to move to Seattle.
They can't. The widow, she won't do it.
Well, I don't know. You think Sabonis gets moved?
He's hurt. So
he is, but he'll be back before the trade deadline.
I just think his number is tough. He can't be a Cavs target.
He can, but they'd have to get under the apron, which is super hard.
Yeah, I just don't know how that... I don't think they can do that. He's not the type of player you move the earth, heaven and earth for.
Oh, I think he'd be perfect for the Cavs with Mobley. I think he'd be amazing. He can actually shoot. He can actually rebound.
Would you trade DG and Allen for Sabonis and Murray?
Which Murray?
Keegan Murray.
Oh, yeah, but the Cavs can't do that.
They have... If they get under the apron, they could, couldn't they?
Yeah, but I don't think the Kings would do that either. I think they would be one or the other. Well, because it's weird. And the problem is with Keegan Murray, it's the poison pill provision in his contract. So with the poison pill provision, it's guys are still on the rookie deal, but they have signed their extension. So the team that trades them, that is as a seller, his number is $11 million for trade purposes, but the team that receives him, the Cavs, his number is $23 million for trade purposes. So it's really hard to work out. Although I did the math today and I sent you guys a trade, and the funniest thing is there's one contract that the Kings could dump to make that work. But it's the most traded player, one of the most traded players in NBA history, Max Schroeder, which would be hilarious.
Yeah, the umlaut, and then trade him to a place that he was at, wasn't he? Wasn't he on the Jazz for a while?
He's been everywhere, but I don't think anybody wants that. He's got $45 million on that contract between this year and the next 2 years. That is, whoever gave him that contract is stupid. Oh, yeah, it was the Kings.
He also almost turned down, remember he turned down 80 from the Lakers, allegedly?
Oh, yeah. Well, and so did D'Angelo Russell. Remember that? Turned down a huge number from the Lakers. Here's the moral of the story. When they offer you the money, take it. When they offer you the bag, take it. anybody else on your trade slop radar? I think Miami could make a move. I think they would move Tyler Hero for a lot of guys.
I don't know who wants Hero though.
Well,
yeah,
but they
or
also
they trade Scam.
Who's Scam?
Scam Adebayo.
Oh. Yeah, they could trade Adebayo because Khalil Ware is finally playing well. Yeah, and Orlando's probably still looking for a point guard. The Franz Wagner thing would be interesting.
Would you trade Jared Allen for Bam?
Oh, in a heartbeat. Bam's actually made a finals.
Bam actually is shooting the three this year, too.
Yeah.
He's taking like five a game.
Yeah, I would in a heartbeat, but Riley wouldn't, because Riley's a lot of things, but he's not dumb.
I don't think I'd do that deal.
Well, it's because you hate Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, because he's a scam artist.
Well, he is.
He's a Jimmy Butler merchant.
Yeah, but
never forget it.
He's too. The problem with Jared Allen is he's too nice.
Jared, you know, circling up on that, I do think one of the problems of the Cavs are they're just all a bunch of nice guys, you know? Like,
everybody needs an asshole.
Everyone is nice. Like, Donovan's a nice guy.
They need a soup thrower.
They don't need a soup thrower. You can't have your four, all your best players can't be just, like, super nice guys. Like,
honestly, I think that's why Detroit works. Because they have enough assholes. Like, they got Beef Stew.
They have Beef Stew.
Who's like three assholes.
No, but, you know.
No, I would not. I mean, he's one of the guys in the NBA that, kind of like Charles Oakley, that would legit scare me. Right? Like, I don't see him back down from anybody. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, but I think it's a fair point. Like, I think talent-wise, the Cavs' four guys are very talented, but in terms of the chemistry, like, they're all somewhat similar personality-wise, and I think some of the reports that come out where, you know, like, where Chris Fedor made it very clear that Mitchell thought Darius wasn't very, you know, ready or took it very seriously, he said that. Now there's this rumor that Darius allegedly wants to, like, run his own show, but these guys are all wusses and won't say it to each other because they're all, like, super nice and want to be politically correct to each other.
Yeah, I think the other problem is that, crap, I don't know. I was going to say something, and then
Jared Allen's, like, not really interested in basketball.
I think that's a lot of it. But I also think his hands were screwed up, and you could see it because he couldn't finish. Actually, I think the theory I had was that Jared Allen likes Evan Mobley, the person, and hates playing with him because he doesn't get the ball enough. I actually think Jared Allen could be an awesome player for a lot of teams. Like, if you put Jared Allen on the Wizards, they could be not the Wizards, the Warriors, they're like a finals team. Because he's literally, Jared Allen's like one of the most efficient finishers in the NBA. And he does not get the ball around the basket enough. Whereas Mobley is actually better spaced out, but he just doesn't. I think he likes Evan Mobley, the person, and doesn't like playing with him, and he pouts because he doesn't get the ball enough when he plays with him. But they're all passive aggressive, like you said. So the guy that I was going to mention, now the thought came back to me. Kevon Looney is actually a guy I think that has some toughness, will not back down from people, has like toughness but maturity, kind of in that Udonis Haslem kind of way. I think that Murray-Kevon Looney trade would be awesome for the Cavs. Like, that would be like the perfect kind of guy and he actually is so much better than Thomas Bryant. Thomas Bryant is he's such a nice guy. He's always smiling. He freaking tripped over the center line today.
I also, just one thing, I just hate how they, like, the Cavs literally ran the play for Thomas Bryant to shoot three corner threes today. He made two of them. I'll give him credit for that. But it's almost, I almost said a really bad word, but I don't think they should be running plays
to
set up Thomas Bryant.
I don't have a problem with it. The problem I have is that he doesn't rebound well enough for his position. I'd much rather they play Tomlin, who goes out and gets the ball. And is super aggressive.
I think that was the issue with tonight is, for whatever the reason, Kenny wouldn't match up the minutes of Diabate with Tomlin.
Well, yeah.
So he left Bryant. The reason why he wasn't rebounding is because he had to dedicate his entire night to clearing out Diabate.
Oh, 100%.
Let everybody else rebound, and we got more Hunter at the 4 minutes, which wasn't working for the majority of the game until he went in fuego.
No, the best lineups of the night was when Dean Wade was with another real big. When they were running Hunter at the 4, like you said, it was amateur hour, right? Dean Wade with another real big were their best lineups. Oh, and the thing that drives me nuts about the Cavs right now is they move Hunter to the bench, but they're still playing him as a closer. Like, so what's the point of moving him to the bench? Somebody needs to take away Kenny's keys. He's getting drunk and driving to the Old Country Buffet every night.
I hate to rain on your parade, but Dean Wade finished plus 13 in 8 minutes and 30 seconds when he was the center and there was no Allen or Bryant. But to your point, it wasn't with Hunter. It was with Naquan Tomlin, mostly.
Yeah, that line, it makes sense because...
Oh,
yeah.
No, it's almost like I was exactly right, Eli.
It is, but it is with Hunter and Naquan.
That's because Naquan can play three positions legit. He can play center, power forward, and small.
Actually, having Naquan on the floor lets Hunter actually play the three.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. 100%.
As long as Hunter plays the three, it's great. It's insane that we keep on having to have this conversation with Kenny Atkinson. Like, freaking play two bigs with Hunter. It's not that freaking hard.
Yeah.
Play Naquan Tomlin, please.
He's a more talented Rodney Hood. Play him like it. Yeah. Oh, it's maddening. And yeah, and Tomlin, oh my God, Tomlin should get 20 minutes a night. Like, his defensive instincts are so good. Do you notice he always shades guys the right way on defense? He always knows their tendencies and he cuts off the angle. He reads a scouting report better than half the starters. It drives me nuts he doesn't get more run. I have never seen a regression in coaching the way I've seen from last year to this year from Kenny. I don't know what's going on with him. He seems like Toby when he got back from Costa Rica in The Office. Anyway, because I always say that Kenny Atkinson sounds like Toby from The Office. And that's my rant. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Cavs Podcast. Eli Kim, Chris Francis, I'm Nate Smith. I'm not your host. I'm just the guy who pushes the record button. It's a team effort. Anyway, Eli has a little story about LaMelo Ball for us. So take it away, Eli.
So today obviously was an interesting day because the Cavs play the Hornets and LaMelo's on the Hornets, right? But the interesting part that I thought was that both social media teams on the Hornets and the Cavs were like really playing this thing up. And I was just scrolling through X, and literally the last post from the account is all this video of Lonzo and LaMelo like dapping up, which doesn't really make sense because Lonzo is a bench player and he's not like a star, whereas it totally would make sense for the Hornets to do. On top of that, they like gave LiAngelo Ball, who was there for the game, like one of those Cavs crystals balls and the gift. So I just think that whoever is doing handling social media, I think they're doing a great job of riding with this rumor of that trade that kind of blew up. Not, you know, it wasn't a huge blow up, but the hypothetical deal was definitely making social media waves. And I give kudos and props to the Cavs media team for kind of stoking the flame and adding fuel to the fire on that.
I mean, this is a long time coming, right? Like, the Ball brothers have been a story since for at least 10 years. Like, this isn't like it's from out of nowhere. So, you know, they're not the Holiday brothers. They actually were all good at one point. One of the best players in the country at one point. So, I mean, I get it. But, yeah, shout out to the social media for trying to find ways to keep it interesting.
Just curious, is there anything the Hornets could add to make you consider the deal?
Williams.
Mark Williams?
No, not Mark Williams. Brandon Williams.
He's not even there. You mean Brandon Miller?
Yeah, him. Brandon Miller. Yeah, sorry.
That's not happening.
The most Amish named...
I think they'd move Brandon Miller for the right price.
Oh, I'd love Brandon Miller.
I don't see that at all.
Oh, yeah.
But he is a Cavs killer. I think Brandon Miller could be a really good player.
He's been shooting not great. He's never been a great shooter.
Yeah, but he's also one of those guys that I have an outsized opinion of because he's always killing the Cavs.
I was also pretty disappointed we didn't get you to see Sexland tonight.
It is a little disappointing. Young bullshit.
Also, speaking of, you wanted your not choir boy. He was implicated in that murder.
Yeah, who's
that's
that?
Right, Brandon.
Oh, geez.
Alabama driving stuff, right?
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, but that's not. I want a guy who's a terror on the court and a teddy bear off it. That's like me. I'm a lunatic on the court, but I'm a prince off of it.
The whole thing about Brandon Miller is he was ironically teammates with a guy named Darius Miles, right?
Not the Darius Miles.
Though. No, it's actually an Alabama teammate, but I just thought it was funny.
No, I forgot all about that. Well, and then, of course, they have who's the guy that beat the crap out of his girlfriend?
Miles Bridges.
Yeah, I hate everybody on that team. Thank God Michael Jordan sold it. He made terrible, terrible draft picks.
I do like their center, though. Kalkbrenner?
Yeah, oh, and also Nipple looks like he's going to be ridiculously good.
Oh, yeah, Conk and Nipple. He's definitely great.
And he also looks like a cherub. He's got like the babyest face that we've seen in the NBA since Nick Stauskas.
Go Duke, the Brotherhood.
Oh God, that's the one reason the Cavs can't trade for Zion. The Brotherhood of guys who stayed 1 year.
Nate, I'm going to run this trade by you.
Okay,
it has to be two separate deals because of the rules.
Yeah,
but what do you think of DG for LaMelo?
I don't.
Now hear me out. And then you also get Brandon Miller, but you have to trade away. It'd have to be Max Strus, I think.
I didn't realize he was implicated in a murder.
He's innocent, though. He's that happened a long time ago.
It's so deep. Just like Ray Lewis, right?
Yeah, it's all good.
No, and also...
And then you're only $16 million away from the second apron.
No. I wouldn't hate Mark Williams as a third big.
He's gone, though. He's already on Phoenix.
Oh, they have... Who? Do they have Nurk? Does
even work?
Who?
Nurk.
Yeah, they do.
I would trade DeAndre Hunter for Nurk. Excuse me.
No way. Nurk's not on the team either. He's on someone else.
Oh, is
Nurkic's on the Jazz, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, the Jazz is where all players go to retire. No, I would trade for Nurk, absolutely. Playable third big. Over DeAndre
playable,
Hunter's...
We're playing fast and loose with the word playable here.
Okay, guys. And
I have another question I want to ask.
Okay.
When Strus is healthy, does he take Jalen Tyson's starting job?
Yeah. Well, for one thing, Tyson's been not great lately. Although he was good. Actually, he was just bad tonight. He's been fine. The problem is they keep jerking his role around.
Well, he's not getting shots anymore because of Garland.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's true, too. Yeah. And maybe it would make sense to move him back to the bench. But, yeah, he's... He really is doing the Isaac Okoro role now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Although, yeah, if Garland keeps shooting like he did tonight, he can keep it going.
The thing is, Garland only does this against teams that suck.
Yeah.
And he only does this when, like, the Cavs are down by a lot or up by a lot. Like, it's never when it's important, I feel.
Well, last year he was one of the best clutch players in the association, and then this year, not at all. So
they were,
yeah, but I think that's a bit misleading because
it was not misleading.
Like
he was awesome in the clutch last year.
I disagree. I think the Cavs were always like up by like 5 to 8.
Yeah,
like
yeah, they were down by 8 when he hit that game winner in Detroit last year. They sure were.
Yes, that's one. And Detroit was not an elite team last year, though.
They were a winning team, were they?
Yes. And then the other game where he blew up was against the Timberwolves when they were down like 20 in the fourth, but he scored like 15 in the last 2 minutes. But that all counts as clutch time, too.
Yeah, so like, no, but he was really good last year.
They were bum slayers last year.
Huh?
They were bum slayers last year.
They did a lot of bum slaying last year. But I'll tell you what, I would have loved some bum slaying in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Like, the bums came to slay the bum slayers this year.
Yeah, exactly. You got to rock.
There was a quote actually where I think it was either JA or maybe it was DG, but basically they said all these teams that we beat the crap on last year like are marking us on the calendar and giving us their best effort, which I think is a terrible excuse.
But also it's not true. You're literally playing like running through mud. Yeah. Like,
well, it's funny you say that because I look back at the schedule. It's really just been the problem has been the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. Pretty much when Mobley went out of the lineup.
We've taken four or five of the worst losses of the year in the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, he lost to the Bulls twice, the Warriors with Pat Spencer.
Yeah.
And then losing to Boston.
Golden State's B team, Charlotte, and Chicago twice.
And Boston's B team, too.
Yeah, Boston's B team, and then Portland at home.
Oh, my God. Is there a player that losing to makes me more infuriated than, the Boston point guard, the chubby white point
Pritchard?
Guard. Oh, Peyton Pritchard.
Oh, yeah.
I hate Peyton Pritchard.
Guys,
what?
It's fine. He's actually good now.
No, he's not.
He has a commercial now.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a Boston local commercial. It's probably pretty good.
No, he has a legit commercial. He's on, I can't find it now.
He has a legit commercial.
He is on a legit commercial. Some energy drink. Okay, I saw
it. He put 42 on Darius Garland. Good God.
Yeah. No, it was rough. He wore Garland like a cape. Okay, Chris, what is your Christmas wish list? Personal, and it doesn't have to be material, and the wish you want to put out into the world?
Personally, hang with some friends.
Nice.
That's it. Just see some good friends over the holidays. Wish for the world. Nuke AI.
No clankers, huh?
Yeah, no clankers. No clankers allowed. Nuke AI.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, and you got a New Year's resolution?
New Year's resolution? I would suppose I gotta probably get back to the gym. I know that's the
same
one.
Yeah,
one, but
I need to do that tomorrow, not in the new year.
Yeah, I
just drank a big glass of eggnog.
Yeah, I've been putting on the pounds since it got cold outside here in Cleveland. So
it's been super cold for like 2 weeks.
Yeah,
same. No, I mean, we always get the weather you guys get. We just get it like 18 hours ahead of you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it's been brutal. Like 10 degrees below normal.
Yeah, it's been rough.
There you go. Nice and short and sweet.
Yeah. My New Year's wish for myself, obviously the gym. Work less, write more would be
there
mine.
You go.
Or create more. Doesn't yeah, right. Yeah. Music counts, right?
Yep. Oh yeah.
What about,
what'd you say, Eli? Awesome.
Not that I'm just being
speak up.
Mean person.
Be mean. I don't care. What were you gonna say?
Good.
Well, now I want to know. My curiosity is more important than my self respect.
What's the last thing you've written? I guess. That's what I was curious about.
So I wrote a whole thing. It's in the drafts if you want to read it. I wrote a whole thing on the end of the Guardians season, and I never published it because it was kind of too personal and it didn't turn out the way I wanted it, so I never published it. So that was the last, so back in October, that was the last Cavs of Blog thing I wrote, and I guess... I write a lot for work, but not long form stuff as much as I'd like. So, a lot of emails.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, but you got to know that I put people on blast, Chris. Like I will write out like a 6-paragraph essay in Slack. Like, I am insufferable.
No, you definitely need to write more. You're a brilliant writer, and it's wasting away in the corporate world. What kind of dystopian hell are you living in, brother?
Well, yeah, I also want to start a website I can't tell you about. That sounds weird. It's political, not sex.
I mean, these days, what's the difference?
The 15 to life. Heyo!
Hey! We wish.
Right. No, I would like to do political writing, but I would have to do it anonymously, unfortunately. So. Say lovey.
Right. If they send you to CCOT, we'll get you.
Thanks. If you're ever interested, go dig through the drafts and find my End of the Guardian season piece. So, if anybody wants it from Cavs of Blog, I'll send it to you from the 10 people that listen to this podcast. Actually, we still have several hundred listeners, which is crazy. I don't know how many of them are AI, but if any AI bots want
to... Shout out to Sam. I'll give a shout out to my homie Sam. He listens faithfully every episode, man, from
good
the Twitter
him.
World. Shout out to Sam in Kansas City.
Nice. Wish that I would put out into the world. Racism, I think, would be the big one. Can we be less racist? That would be my favorite. Feel like it's not a lot to ask, but for some people apparently it is. So Eli, what about you? What's your wish for yourself, your wish for the world, and your New Year's resolution?
Yeah, wish for myself is continued health. I
word.
You want to use this You know, I've been away for a little bit, and I think you guys have done a great job holding down the fort. Someone to kind of share with our, you know, retirement community of Cavs lovers that I recently had surgery for thyroid cancer. All good prognosis wise, but you know, that's my wish, is to continue to have improved health, and my wish to the world is also that everyone can you know, have these reminders, whether you've made it this far to listen to us talk about this, that, you know, health is the most important thing in the world. Without it,
yep,
nothing else really
health
matters,
of you so. And your family and your exactly. friends.
So just wish that upon the world and hope everyone can be happy
and Eli, one of my wishes came true. You're doing great, so that makes awesome. Me happy. That I didn't get any. There's nothing I'll get better for Christmas than that, than what you just told me. So
yeah, that means a lot, man. So we'll touch by that.
A little dry in here.
You softy.
What's your wish for the world, Eli? Take care of yourself.
Take care of yourself and hope the Cavs win some more games.
Nice. I want to. So, do you want to make a finals or do you want to win a finals? I would be happy to make a finals. I want a magical playoff run like Indy had last year.
I'd be okay getting out of the second round. That's all I want.
That's right.
Next rung on the ladder.
It can be a conference finals because just one thing that I just can't stand about this team is they play like as almost they like made it to the mountaintop already.
Yeah. And yeah, they're like the 2017. They're like the 2017 Cavs.
No, this is they play.
No, like, they are. They play like the 2017 Cavs.
The best analogy that I have, and it's not a Cavs one, is when the Hawks made the conference finals with Trae Young, and because Ben Simmons didn't lay the ball up. And the following year, they didn't make the playoffs, and they asked Trae Young about it. And he's like, well, you know, when you've been to the top of the mountain, you know when to turn it on. That's how the Cavs are playing right now. That's the part that really just pisses me off, to be candid.
That is my wish to send out into the world, asses. That Trae gets sent to Utah.
We like that.
Except I'd never do that to Ace Bailey.
What did Ace Bailey do to deserve that kind of loyalty?
I wouldn't do that to anybody, to be honest with you. the only team I would do that to would be the Warriors. And maybe the Celtics.
Yes, sir.
Although the Celtics, it would backfire and blow up in my face.
Exactly. They got devil magic.
I would like to see Kevin Love back in a Cavs uniform. I feel like that might be the secret sauce. Like, apparently he's a big part of the locker room culture over there in Utah. Anyway, okay, New Year's resolution, Eli?
I think I've shared all enough.
Okay. So anything to pitch, Chris? Anything to pitch, and what should the Cavs' New Year's resolution be? Other than winning more games, but let's be a little more specific.
Damn, you caught me off guard with the pitch, but for the Cavs' resolution...
How did I catch you off guard? Literally have this every podcast you have ever been on.
Okay, I got a pitch for you. Apparently, people are excited about Odyssey, the Christopher Nolan movie coming out. So apparently, that's what I'll pitch, is be on the lookout for that movie.
When's that coming out?
I don't know. That's a good question. The trailers are out, apparently, and there's scenes. 2026, so... It's summer 2026.
Okay.
So
and Eli Pitt sent me his pitch. Go Cavs. I'm out. Happy 2025.
Yeah, there you go. And for the Cavs, play some freaking defense, for God's sake. Kenny, play some freaking defensive lineups, for God's sake. That's my 2026.
Naquan Tomlin, 20 minutes a night.
There you go. CPJ, elite point of attack defense. Play him some.
Yeah. My pitch, I've had so many things I've been into lately, and every time I think about it, I like can't think about it. Like, I just forget. So, a lot of good TV shows I've been watching. I've been watching Pluribus It's pretty good. But it's really slow. It's Vince Gilligan who did Breaking Bad, but it's like even slower than Breaking Bad. But it's still really good. It's Apple TV, you know, art house TV. And then I'm going to pitch a band called Wednesday, which is really good indie rock from this year. The new Big Thief album from this year was really good. I am pitching, oh gosh, I had a bunch of stuff, that I was, can't think of now, of course, like always.
Oh, I see, how the worm turns.
MJ Linderman is in a band called Wednesday. They're good. The girl's voice sounds like Courtney Barnett. I also have been, listening to this band called Ryan Davis and the Roadhouse Band. And if you were ever a fan of Frank, I think it's Frank Berman, and Silver Jews, and he's dead now, R.I.P. But Ryan Davis sounds a lot like him, which would be a bad thing, like a ripoff. But apparently, they were big fans of each other and compatriots, so I can't get mad at that. So that's been really good. Yeah, and so that's what I have to pitch. I'm sure there's other stuff, I just never remember it. But, oh yeah, I've been playing a game called, Blueprints, which is a super, super hard puzzle game mixed with a roguelike. So imagine a super hard puzzle game, but the house is never the same way 2 days in a row, and you may not get the same rooms every day. So you might have a puzzle that you gotta wait, like, 2 or 3 playthroughs to get back to. So, it's an interesting game, but it's fun. And, and a band called Autoheart, which I went to see in Lansing a couple weeks ago with my kids. And they're great, great vocals. It is a band that's big in the gay community, and they are a London indie pop band. And they're really good, and the singer's awesome. So, yeah. And that's all I got. And my New Year's wish for the Cavs, resolution for the Cavs, is play more Naquan Tomlin and beat the damn Knicks on Christmas.
There we go.
There we go. And we outie 5,000. Merry Christmas, Cavs fans. Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy all the holidays.
Right. Go Cavs.
Go Cavs. Have an awesome 2026 if we don't talk to you.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite blogger. There's a fire. You lost your home.
Lose your partner. And we're out.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.